Joshua chapter 6. This, I would remind us as we're opening to this passage, and this is one of those wonderful Sunday school stories, isn't it? Every one of us that was in Sunday school growing up sang Joshua fit the battle of Jericho, Jericho, Jericho. Joshua fit the battle of Jericho and the walls came a-tumbling down. Right? We've all sang this song. It's one of those Sunday school stories, right? Well, this is a history that must be remembered, that we need to be reminded of as young or as chronologically challenged as we might be. Okay? We can't forget this story. It's not just for the kids. All right? So I'm going to do like I usually do. I'm going to read the whole chapter, and then we'll see how much I get through talking about it. Let's go. Joshua chapter 6. Now Jericho was tightly shut because of the sons of Israel. No one went out and no one came in. The Lord said to Joshua, "See, I have given Jericho into your hand with its king and the valiant warriors. You shall march around the city, all the men of war, circling the city once. You shall do so for 6 days. Also, seven priests shall carry seven trumpets of ram's horns before the ark. Then on the seventh day you shall march around the city seven times, and the priests shall blow the trumpets. And it shall be that when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when you hear the sound of the trumpet, all the people shall shout with a great shout, and the wall of the city will fall down flat, and the people will go up, every man straight ahead." So Joshua, the son of Nun, called the priests and said to them, "Take up the Ark of the Covenant and let seven priests carry seven trumpets of ram's horns before the Ark of the Lord." And then he said to the people, "Go forward and march around the city and let the armed men go on before the Ark of the Lord." And it was so that when Joshua had spoken to the people, the seven priests carrying the seven trumpets of ram's horns before the Lord went forward and blew the trumpets, and the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord followed them. The armed men went before the priests who blew the trumpet, and the rear guard came after the Ark while they continued to blow the trumpets. Man, I wish I could hear those trumpets right now. But Joshua commanded the people, saying, "You shall not shout, nor let your voice be heard, nor let a word proceed out of your mouth until the day I tell you, shout. Then you shall shout." So he had the ark of the Lord taken around the city, circling it once. Then they came into the camp and spent the night in the camp. Now Joshua rose early in the morning, and the priests took up the ark of the Lord, the seven priests carrying the seven trumpets of ram's horns before the ark of the Lord went on continually and blew the trumpets, and the armed men went before them, and the rear guard came after the ark of the Lord while they continued to blow the trumpets. Thus the second day they marched around the city once and returned to the camp. They did so for 6 days. 6 days. Then the seventh day arose. I'm sorry. Then the seventh day they rose early at the dawning of the day and marched around the city in the same manner seven times. Only on that day they marched around the city seven times. At the seventh time, when the priests blew the trumpets, Joshua said to the people, "Shout, for the Lord has given you the city. The city shall be under the ban. It and all that is in it belongs to the Lord. Only Rahab the harlot and all who are with her in the house shall live, because she hid the messengers whom we sent. But as for you, only keep yourselves from the things under the ban, so that you do not covet them and take some of the things under the ban and make the camp of Israel accursed and bring trouble on it. But all the silver and gold and articles of bronze and iron are holy to the Lord. They shall go into the treasury of the Lord." So the people shouted, and the priest blew the trumpets. And when the people heard the sound of the trumpet, the people shouted with a great shout, and the wall fell down flat, so that the people went up into the city, every man straight ahead, and they took the city. They utterly destroyed everything in the city, both man and woman, young and old, and ox and sheep and donkey, with the edge of the sword. Joshua said to the two men who had spied out the land, "Go into the harlot's house and bring the woman and all she has out of there, as you have sworn to her." So the young men who were spies went in and brought out Rahab and her father and her mother and her brothers and all she had. They also brought out all her relatives and placed them outside the camp of Israel. They burned the city with fire and all that was in it. Only the silver and gold and articles of bronze and iron they put into the treasury of the house of the Lord. However, Rahab the harlot and her father's household and all she had, Joshua spared. And she has lived in the midst of Israel to this day, for she hid the messengers whom Joshua sent to spy out Jericho. Then Joshua made them take an oath at that time, saying, "Cursed before the Lord is the man who rises up and builds this city Jericho. With the loss of his firstborn, he shall lay its foundation, and with the loss of his youngest son, he shall set up its gates." So the Lord was with Joshua, and his fame was in all the land. Father God, I ask again for your grace. We cannot understand your word without your Holy Spirit. So we pray that you would be our teacher and help us understand and apply the word of God to our hearts and lives. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So there's the little geographical reminder that... Oh, it's not going to work like that. Sorry. So there's the city of Jericho. Gilgal is right there. You might remember the place where the Lord rolled away the reproach of Egypt from the Israeli people. Okay? And Jericho is right there. And just as a little visual, I wish you could... We need to get a great big, like 150-inch television up there, because I wish you could see this really clearly, but that's a really well-done picture of what Jericho would have looked like back then. Notice that it's actually got, it's got one wall, two walls. And so we're talking about all kinds of activity when the people shouted, okay? When the trumpets blew, okay? And you can imagine, see all those little dwelling places in there. There was, I should have done a quick Google search and found out what was the population of, estimated population, you know, at the time of Joshua. But that's where they walked around. Notice in this little, here's another picture of it taken right out of the ESV Archaeology Study Bible. Ben or Alex, which one of you has the Archaeology Bible? Yeah, so I got it out of that same Bible that he used. I had to get me a copy of that Bible too. So they had this picture, and you can see that this is 200 feet. This is 100 meters. So a football field is like, it's two football fields across this way, and I'm guessing that's probably one, two, three and a half football fields long, you know, give or take, just so you can get an idea of the size. They're going around that thing. How long would it take an army of, it says all the armed men of the people of Israel. So it was a, you can imagine, because it says they counted like 600,000 armed for battle of the people of Israel at this time. 600 plus a few thousand. And I remember in the Lord of the Rings when they had a, when they were at, and in the fortress. Anyway, they had 10,000 coming against them. And that was a massive army. And they were just like, how in the world are we going to survive against 10,000 coming against this fortress? And the people of Israel had 600,000. So you can understand why the people in this city, they had closed it up tight and they weren't letting anybody out or in, okay? So, let's fly. I got about 20 minutes. It is already accomplished. Did you see that in the text? Whatever God is giving you, it's already accomplished. Your salvation, your victory over the darkness, over our enemy, the devil, your victory is already accomplished. All of your inheritance that Jesus died on the cross to give to you, think about, what is that inheritance? Adoption. Forgiveness, redemption. He has purchased us with his own blood. Like we just celebrated, we're part of the body of Christ now. And we have this ministry in the body that God wants us to do, to be a part of. Each one of us in the church. And whatever he's giving to us, I think it's interesting, they're outside of the battle, outside of the city, the battle hasn't begun yet, and the Lord says, see, I have given Jericho into your hand. I have this wonderful Bible program where I can, you know, usually words of Christ are in red in the New Testament, in the Gospels. Well, I can go all through the Old Testament, wherever God is speaking to Abraham or Moses, or in this case, Joshua and the people, and I can make it red letter, and I made it red. This is God speaking to Joshua. See, I have given Jericho into your hand with its king and the valiant warriors. God commanded Joshua to do what had never been done before. I want us to really think about this. It's kind of like, do you remember when Moses was wandering through the, you know, up there in that mountain country, and he sees a bush burning? Shazam! What's that? And God starts speaking to him from a burning bush. And God never did that with anyone else in the Bible. I've read it through a few times. It's not in there. Only Moses got to hear God's voice out of a burning bush. And this is one of those instances where the experience that the children of Israel have is unlike, God didn't never told David to march or take the army and march around the city seven times or whatever. Never. God, and I just want you to imagine this, that you're a seasoned, remember, Joshua and the armies of Israel, they've already had experience in battle. They defeated Og and Sihon, king of Bashan, and the Sihon, king of the Amorites, and other armies, the Amalekites. Remember when he raised the stick up and his arms got tired, and when he got tired, he needed help, right? So they've already had experience in battle, and they know that, you know, you get close to a city and they start shooting arrows at you and people die and all this stuff happens. And the Lord tells Joshua, I want you to get some trumpets, take the Ark of God out there, march around the city, and anyone that has battle experience is going to, you would think they would be scratching their head and wondering, why is the Lord giving us this strange battle plan? Okay? But God commanded Joshua to do, as far as I know, maybe I should have put that in there. As far as I know, God commanded Joshua to do what had never been done before. So this year, as we're trying to get 2020 vision, and we want to see, have God speak to us, guide us, Lord, show us what to do so that we can reach these people that drive past our church every day. Hundreds and hundreds of cars driving past our church, taking their kids to school. How can we reach those people? God might tell us to do something that we've never done before. And if he does, I don't want to hear anybody say, we've never done it like that before. Okay? Because God from time to time tells people to do crazy things that nobody's ever done before. And so it's not a good thing to say, we've never done it that way before. Okay, I just thought it would be good to make that point. March around the city, all the men of war circling the city. Once you shall do so for 6 days, seven priests shall carry seven trumpets of ram's horns before the ark. So I just love picturing this. I'll get to picturing it in a minute. That's what the Lord commanded, right? And so Joshua and the people. I want you to look in your Bibles and see if you could find it. I couldn't find it. There was no hesitation. There was no Joshua going, I wonder if this is really going to work. Now, if he thought that, you know, we'll find out when we get to heaven. He must have kept it to himself. And I would venture to say a lot of those seasoned warriors were wondering, oh my, has Joshua lost his mind? We're going to go out and march around the city. Okay? So, but they obeyed. And I think it's neat to go back and look at how the people said, we're going to be with you, Joshua, just like we were with Moses. Joshua and the people obeyed. Joshua commanded, you shall not shout, nor let your voice be heard, nor let a word proceed out of your mouth until the day I tell you, shout. Then you shall shout. Okay? So maybe this is a good time to start imagining this. You're the armed warriors in Jericho trying to be ready for this assault that's going to come. And you're watching. And you're like, where's the battering rams? They're going to bring up battering rams. They're going to try to beat the door down. They're going to try to shoot fire over the wall, start fire. You know, you can picture all the things that you've seen in movies or whatever. And they're thinking, what are they going to do? How are they going to try to take the wall? And they look out. And as the people of God begin to obey the Lord, there's the first armed cohorts, and then there's some priests with ram's horns blowing the trumpets, and then there's the ark, there's this and at this point I'm wondering, I don't know, I'm putting a question out there, did all of the other peoples were shaking in their boots because they knew what God did to the Egyptians when the Lord brought them out of Egypt, out of slavery, on eagle's wings. He carried them and brought them out of slavery and into freedom, you could say. And then all of the peoples know about the defeat of the Amalekites, and they know about the defeat of Og, king of Bashan, and Sihon, king of the Amorites, and the other victories that God, wherever these people go, if they're walking with their God and walking in obedience to him, then the Lord just destroys all of their enemies before them. Okay? And so now, they're walking around Jericho, and they're marching left, right. They probably don't sing cadence like the Marine Corps, but you can. I remember it was so cool when 40 of us were locked in step, and you could hear us coming from quite a ways down the road, even if we were just marching. You can hear 40 feet hitting the ground in step. Again, I don't know if they walked in step or what. But there's hundreds of thousands of warriors marching around. Tens of thousands, you know, so many. I was thinking, how long is the line of the warriors? And they're completely silent. Why were they not allowed to talk? Why? It occurred to me that there's a time to say something and a time to shut up. And the Lord didn't need any help from the people. You know, you better watch out. When this 7 days are up, we're going to take you down, you bunch of Jerichoans or whatever. So they were to just remain silent and march, okay? Armed warriors of Yahweh circled the city once, seven trumpets blasting before the Ark of the Covenant. So, and I wish I could see and be a fly on the wall listening to the conversation of what was going on in Jericho. From up on the walls in particular, those who were watching this and seeing it, I guess that you could feel a little bit of the when they're marching in step around the city, that many soldiers, you could probably feel a little, just like I can feel when a big truck goes down the road, especially at my house, I feel it in the house. So think about that. They're shaking in their boots in Jericho. On the seventh day, they arose early to obey Yahweh. I just think it's interesting. On this day, We don't just go around once. We need to go around seven times. What is the significance of that? It occurred to me, and when you get to heaven, you can ask Jesus and see, you know, if there's any correlation here. But I remembered that in the book of Revelation, when the wrath of God is being poured out on the Antichrist and everybody who takes the mark, those tribulations, and then the wrath of God being poured out, it's coming in sequences of seven. There are seven seals on the scroll that only the Lamb of God can open. And as he opened the scrolls, the first four, you see tribulation. The Antichrist is revealed and all this stuff. And as you work through the seven, there's seven seals are opened. The wrath of God is poured out, beginning with the opening of the seventh seal. And then there are the seven trumpet blasts. There's seven trumpets. Interesting, huh? When Jesus, it says in Matthew 24, on a particular day, there'll be a blast of the angel's trumpet, and he'll send out his angels to gather the elect from the four winds. And we notice, if you look carefully, Matthew 24 and Revelation chapter 6, that at that moment, when that trumpet is blast, when the people of God are caught up in the rapture, then the wrath of God is poured out. It's just interesting that it corresponds to the blast of a trumpet. And many believe that the Lord will return on the Feast of Trumpets. We'll see if that happens. I understand, I think, why they think that. At the seventh time, when the priests blew the trumpets, Joshua said to the people, "Shout, for Yahweh has given you the city." Okay? So use that proper name of God there. Yahweh has given you the city. So the Lord told Joshua, the Lord has given you the city, and Joshua is passing that along to the troops. The Lord has given you the city. Okay? The victory is yours. Praise be to God. The city is under the ban, holy to the Lord. I'm going to talk about that more next week, because we're going to see what happens. They set apart all of the gold and the silver and the precious metals and stuff that would be normally be booty for the army. They could keep that stuff for themselves, but this is the army of God, and this is the first fruits, you might say, of all the victories God is going to give his people in the promised land. And so everything in this city is dedicated to the Lord. Okay, so that's what that's about. We'll talk about it some more next week. So the people shouted. Can you? Oh, I wish I could hear what that was like. I wish, because they were blowing the trumpets, but then you got, I remember, 40 of us in platoon 3300. You know, how much noise we could make. 40 of us. Marines have a lot of hot air. We're really loud people, United States Marines are. And I think one of the reasons they taught us to shout in boot camp was because when you're going into battle and you're not just letting the lead fly and you're not just attacking, but you're shouting victory over the enemy. That is intimidating. I can't imagine what it was like to have 100,000 plus armed warriors shouting at the city. It's it's one of those moments in history that the people shouted and the priests blew the trumpets. And when the people heard the sound of the trumpet, the people shouted with a great shout and the wall fell down flat so that the people went up into the city, every man straight ahead, and they took the city. They utterly destroyed everything in the city. We're going to close on these two things and I'll finish it up next week as we go into the next chapter. They utterly destroyed everything in the city, both man and woman, young and old, and ox and sheep and donkey, and with the edge of the sword. And my only point there is that we need to be careful not to minimize this. We're living in a world where on the college campuses, they have to have little safety zones where if you're not allowed to say something that might offend someone. Like you're a sinner and you need a savior. There's nothing more loving that you could say to somebody that might be offended by it than to tell them, you are a sinner. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We all deserve the wrath of God because of our sins. We all do. So if you're offended by that, sorry. Get over it. And we need to not back off on sharing the truth of the Word of God because we live in a world of sissies who are like, you can't say that. That's offensive. The Bible is offensive. The gospel of Jesus Christ is offensive. And so, therefore, we have to be offensive. Now, if we're being offensive because of the way we're sharing the truth, that's a really big problem. Because the Bible says we're supposed to speak the truth in love. We're not saying things like this to be offensive, but we're saying things that are true in love, even though they are offensive to some people. Does that make sense? Yeah. Yeah, we need to be bold. But I also like the word winsome. I think it's good to be winsome in the way we share this stuff. I like that word because if we want to win some, we need to be winsome. Because if we're just offensive in the way we share the truth, then God have mercy on us. You know what I'm saying? So this is the good stuff. Go into the harlot's house. Do you hear how he said that? Go into the harlot's house. We're reminded in this passage of scripture, in this verse, that this woman that is being saved and all of her household were part of this society that is being judged by the wrath of God. It's something to think about. That God went into this place where the wrath of God is being poured out and he's saving out of that group of people some of them. And why? Because she's got a scarlet thread hanging out of her window. And I love how people talk about the scarlet thread of redemption all through the Bible. Starts in Genesis and goes all the way through where you can see those little pictures of redemption. When Adam and Eve died, the Lord killed an animal and covered them with the skins of the animal. there was somebody that died. They were crucified, or the animals were sacrificed so that the sins of the Adam and Eve could be covered, as it were. Okay? And so from there all the way through the Old Testament, we see this scarlet thread of redemption, and right here it is hanging out a harlot, out of a harlot's window. And everybody in her house is saved. Rahab the harlot and her father's household has lived in the midst of Israel to this day. Do you hear that? They lived in the midst of God's people. They became part of the people of God. I just think that's awesome. So see, when we're speaking the truth to the world and offending some are going to listen and repent and believe. And they're going to hang the scarlet thread of the blood of Christ out the window of their life. And they're going to be saved from the wrath of God as we go out and share the truth with the world. Notice this as we close. In Hebrews 11:31, it says, "By faith, Rahab the harlot did not perish along with those who were disobedient, after she had welcomed the spies in peace." So we're reminded there in Hebrews, she's in the hall of faith, in the history of the faithful, all delineated there in Hebrews chapter 11. Beautiful passage of Scripture. So, let's pray. Lord, it is such an awesome blessing to see the gospel of Jesus Christ in the Old Testament in a story like this. We love the way Rahab, when she was speaking to the spies, clearly stated her faith in the God. She stated that she believed in this God who was the God of all the earth, and how that God had given Jericho into Joshua's hands, into the hands of the people of God. And she understood that the wrath of God was coming on her city. And she put her faith in the God of Joshua, and the God of Israel, and the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And Lord, I pray that you would help us to grow just like Paul prayed before the service, Lord, that we would be better believers. I pray that we would take the truth of this scripture and believe in a better way today. And help us to keep on growing in our grace and knowledge of Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you came into the world and you died on the cross to take the punishment for all of our sins so that we don't have to be afraid of the wrath of God anymore. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, for your great and infinite love for us. We love you, Lord. We pray. And as we talked about earlier, we want to give ourselves a living sacrifice. And I want to remind everybody, while I'm up here at the end, if you need to talk to me about salvation, about recommitting your life to Christ, about anything you want prayer for, you can always share that with Russ. He's always back there to pray with you in the prayer room. And I'm always here to pray with you and for you as well. In Jesus' name, amen.